From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati reports on Syariah Economy and Finance National Committee, or KNEKS. Indonesian Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection Bintang Puspayoga says Indonesian women must become independent and resilient. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati, as Secretary of the Syariah Economy and Finance National Committee, or KNKS, reported the preparations for the committee plenary meeting to Vice President Ma'ruf Amin at his residence in Jakarta on Monday. Vice President Amin is the chief of the committee. The third committee plenary meeting, which has been mandated through Presidential Regulation No. 28/2020, will be held on Tuesday. As reported by Antara, the meeting's agenda will include an evaluation of government work programs on the development of the Syariah economy and a discussion on further actions. Indonesian Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection Bintang Puspayoga has urged Indonesian women to become independent, empowered, and resilient. They must keep working, innovating, and being creative. This was affirmed by Minister Bintang Puspayoga at the Women's Inspiration Fest awarding night in Jakarta on Monday, according to a statement received by Antara on Monday. This is important amid inequality in access and participation that many women's groups still face. In addition, women who make up nearly 50% of Indonesia's population are the support and foundation of the state from a social and economic perspective. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, in Jakarta on Monday, who guaranteed that there would be no increase in the entry fee for Komodo National Park. This was pointed out by Minister Sandiaga Uno related to the plan of raising the entry ticket for Komodo National Park by 3.75 million rupiah that might be implemented starting January 1, 2023. Minister Uno also noted that Regulations No. 12/2014 is still valid and the rates for Komodo National Park are still the same. Regarding conservation, this regulation will be reviewed later because long-term preservation is the main priority of tourism policy in Labuan Bajo.
Selama PP ini masih berlaku, tarifnya masih akan...
Of course, as long as the regulations are still valid, the rate will be the same. Of course, it will be reviewed related to conservation because the government wants to ensure carrying capacity and maintaining long-term preservation is a top priority of tourism policy in Labuan Bajo. This will involve the ministry side, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Ministry of Home Affairs, and also related parties. Because the conservation of biological resources and their ecosystems in Komodo National Park has become a global concern. Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga Uno also pointed out that the government will continuously try to increase tourist visits to Labuan Bajo. One of them is by completing an open area for the public by holding national and international scale events and branding Labuan Bajo as a meeting, incentive, convention, and exhibition destination. Currently, there are 20 thematic cultural festivals and sport tourism to be prepared for 2023. Along with handling of the pandemic, which has been under control, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, is optimistic that Indonesian tourism will revive by 2023. At the weekly brief in Jakarta on Monday, he conveyed the rise of Indonesian tourism will be supported by the creative economy sector, which has placed Indonesia in the world's top three level.
Seiring dengan penanganan pandemi yang sudah terkendali,
along with the handling of the pandemic, which has been under control, the government is optimistic that tourism will revive in 2023. And of course, the creative economy will also support it with additional value from the creative economy, which is getting higher and places Indonesia's position now in the world's top three level for the creative economy in terms of presentation to gross domestic product. Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno further pointed out that amid the uncertainty related to the economic recession in many countries with the world's largest economies, Indonesia continuously grows by 5%. He also noted that the rate of foreign tourist arrivals to Indonesia in 2022 also doubled from the target of 3.6 million arrivals to 7.5 million arrivals. Meanwhile, the movement of domestic tourists also increased from the target of 1.2 billion to 1.4 billion moves. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Home Affairs Muhammad Tito Karnavian that has highlighted the need for regional governments to intensify efforts to control inflation amid global uncertainty and ahead of the upcoming Christmas and New Year celebrations. As quoted by Antara, Minister Tito Karnavian explained on Monday, global uncertainty, which has been triggered by tensions between Russia and Ukraine, has had a multidimensional impact, including on world economy and finance. Moreover, the Northern Hemisphere is currently experiencing winter, which has resulted in an increase in energy demand, which has fueled an increase in prices. The last national news comes from the Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing expects that the property sector can support the Indonesian economy amid the global recession in 2023, as the sector is estimated to survive during that period. The property sector is expected to support Indonesia's economy once again to continue to grow next year. This was pointed out by Director General of Ministries Public Works and Housing Infrastructure Financing, Heri Trisaputra Zuna, during the event titled Housing Economic Outlook and Prospect in 2023, streamed online Monday, as quoted by Antara. We end the news with international news coming from Ukraine is tightening up the defense of its border with Belarus over fears that Russia may be preparing a fresh attack. Deputy Interior Minister of Ukraine, Yevhen Yenin, told the BBC Ukraine will be bolstering the Belarusian border with armed forces and ammunition. The news came as Vladimir Putin traveled to Minsk to meet Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko. Belarus shares a border with Russia as well as Ukraine. The Russian president later ordered the strengthening of Russia's borders and of social control within Russia. He said the security services should quickly thwart any attempt to violate Russia's borders, combat risks coming from abroad, and identify traitors and saboteurs. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of the commentary for today's edition is Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Yudo Margono appointed as Chief of Armed Forces. President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday afternoon appointed the Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Yudo Margono to become the Chief of the Indonesian Armed Forces or TNI, replacing General Andika Perkasa, who is entering retirement this December. However, Admiral TNI Yudo Margono will only serve as TNI Chief for less than a year before retiring in November 2023. Despite the short time, Yudo Margono promises to carry out his duties as TNI Chief as optimally as possible. At the inauguration ceremony, President Joko Widodo ordered the TNI Chief to maintain the sovereignty and unity of the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia, or NKRI. The President also asked him to maintain high public trust in the TNI. Regarding the political year leading up to the 2024 general election, President Joko Widodo instructed Chief Yudo Margono to maintain the neutrality of the TNI. President Joko Widodo also gave special directions to Chief Yudo Margono regarding the armed criminal group in Papua. The President asked him to be firm with the group members. President Joko Widodo initially said that the humanist approach and the reduction of the TNI soldiers in Papua were indeed good. However, he also reminded the TNI chief to be firm with the group, considering the brutal actions they often commit. Indeed, many hard tasks await the new TNI chief. Maintaining the sovereignty of the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia on land, sea, and air is not an easy task in a country whose territory consists of many islands. But for now, handling the group in Papua is perhaps the most difficult task for the TNI chief. The group's relentless interference, coupled with the world's eye, which is ready to accuse Indonesia of committing violations of human rights in handling it, is a legacy of duties that must be carried out by the new TNI chief. Meanwhile, Chief Yudo Margono only has less than a year to finish it. Hopefully, the new Chief of Indonesian Armed Forces, or TNI, Yudo Margono, can immediately find the right strategy to deal with the existence of the Papua's group. Even though he has to retire before his job is completed, this strategy could continue to be used by the next TNI chief as a basis for properly solving the Papuan problem. Well, listener, that's the commentary.
Hello, listener. We meet again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with the National Social Solidarity Day on December 20, 1948. The National Social Solidarity Day was decided from the historical event which occurred on December 20, 1948, when there was a unity of the Indonesian military and people the day after the Dutch military aggression. Two extraordinary powers belong to the Indonesian nation, namely TNI and the people, united to struggle and defend Indonesia from the Dutch colonialism. The solidarity which became a top priority to drive the Dutch and liberating Indonesia from the grip. Thank you.
Now we take you to have a look on December 20, 1949, an inauguration of Cabinet and Prime Minister of the United Republic of Indonesia. The United Republic of Indonesia Cabinet was established as the result of the establishment of the United Republic of Indonesia after the recognition of sovereignty from the Dutch colonial power. The cabinet served less than a year before Indonesia finally returned to the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The cabinet served from December 20, 1949 to September 6, 1950 in Jakarta. End the segment with an event of Macau was officially returned to the People's Republic of China from Portugal. Macau is an area in the south coast of Republic of China. After the signing of agreement between Portugal and China on December 20, 1999, Macau became a special administrative region of China, which is valid until December 20, 2049. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kau cabut dari hidup.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia highlights Indonesia and Australia strengthen economic governance cooperation. The governments of Indonesia and Australia extended cooperation in the field of economic governance by signing the exchange of letters of the Indonesia and Australia Partnership Program for the Economy or Prospera, which is valid until 2026. The signing was carried out by Deputy for Coordinating International Economic Cooperation at the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Edi Priyo Pambudi, along with Australia's Deputy Secretary for Southeast Asia and Global Partners Group Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Michelle Chan. Edi Priyo Pambudi, in his official statement on Friday, said, apart from the provision of experts and routine consultations, both countries can also exchange experiences regarding policy reform of the governments of both countries through Prospera program. Prospera is a collaboration between Indonesia and Australia that aims to promote strong and sustainable economic growth. This economic governance program brings together Indonesian and Australian experts to support Indonesia's economic policy priorities, including in the area of tax administration, health system reform, recovery from COVID-19, digital acceleration, disability-inclusive policies, as well as climate and energy. On one hand, Australian Deputy Secretary Michelle Chan said Indonesia has enormous economic opportunities in the future and Prospera can help support policymakers to take advantage of them. On the other hand, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Penny Williams said Prospera has always been a valuable resource to help decision makers in Indonesia address increasingly complex challenges. Prospera, or the Indonesia-Australia Partnership Program for the Economy, started with the Indonesia and Australia Economic Governance Program that was formed after the 1997-1998 Asian financial crisis. On its way, Prospera has developed to respond to new challenges such as the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic and the global multidimensional crisis. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Lalu kau datang.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you to Pontianak, West Kalimantan, where you may have a look around Keraton Ismahayana or Ismahayana Palace, which is located on Jalan Pangeran Sancanata Street. Keraton Ismahayana Palace is the oldest royal palace in West Kalimantan. It was built in the 14th century and it still exists. The building is made of Borneo iron wood, a kind of rare tree called ebony, and it is only found in several jungles in Kalimantan. Did you know, this oldest kingdom is still one lineage with Majapahit Empire on Java Island. The oldest son of Brawijaya, Angkawijaya, moved to Ngabang, or it is called Landak City nowadays. Then, Raden Sumantri married a local woman, and she gave birth to a son whose name was Raden Ismahayana. He built a kingdom called Ismahayana Kingdom. He converted to Islam and changed his name. Keraton Ismahayana is a proof for the history of the kingdom. This time, this royal palace becomes a museum to display the heritage of Ismahayana Sultan. To visit Keraton Ismahayana, you may not only enjoy the unique art of the stilt house, but also see the material collections with historical values that are on display there. You don't need to pay for entering the palace area. You are only expected to have awareness to give a little money as maintenance fees and guide facilities during the tour. The Royal Palace, which now functions as a museum, consists of 4 rooms, each of which displays a different type of collection from the entire collection. Take for example, the first room is a room that was used to receive royal guests. Here, you will get to know the history and development of the Ismahayana Kingdom briefly. The second room or the middle room of this royal palace was used to serve as the throne for the king and his queen. Now in this place, you can see various photo documentations of the king's relatives. Apart from these royal collections, there is also a collection of relics from the Ismahayana Landak Sultanate, which are classified as cultural and historical heritage, including the crown of the Landak Sultan, Krisi Kanyut, a pair of magic swords, the bed of the king and his wife, a set of gamelan traditional musical instrument, and an ancient Quran. Are you interested in seeing all the collections of the Sultanate's cultural heritage? If so, please visit Keraton Ismahayana. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Kembali hanya pada kau.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expressions and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is berwisata di Likupang. Berwisata di Likupang, which means touring Likupang. Next, you will be listening to a conversation entitled Teman Saya Menelepon. Teman Saya Menelepon, which means my friend called. It takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a tour guide in Likupang. Dev tells the tour guide that his friend in Jakarta has just called him. Let's listen to their conversation.
Teman saya menelepon. Dia ingin ke Likupang bulan depan.
Kalau ke Likupang, jangan lupa ke Pantai Pulisan.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide vocabulary related to today's material, teman saya menelepon. Teman saya menelepon, which means my friend called. I'll say the word slowly twice and you can repeat after me. Teman saya, which means my friend. Menelepon, which means to call or to phone. Teman saya menelepon, which means my friend called. In the conversation, you heard the expression teman saya menelepon. Teman saya menelepon, which means my friend called. In that sentence, there is the word menelepon. Menelepon, which means to call. The word menelepon, which means to call, is formed from the word telepon, which means phone, and prefix me. The word menelepon, which means using the telephone. Other examples. Let's listen to other examples of using the prefix be, which expresses the meaning of using. Dev menggunting kertas. Dev menggunting kertas, meaning Dev cuts the paper. Nelayan menggergaji kayu untuk membuat perahu. Nelayan menggergaji kayu untuk membuat perahu, which means fishermen saw some wood to make boats. The prefix me or meng, which is followed by a noun of a tool, usually means to use. For example, the noun blender, which means blender. Memblender means to blend or to use blender. And the noun palu, which means hammer, becomes memalu, which means hammering or using a hammer. Before Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Teman saya menelepon. Dia ingin ke Likupang bulan depan.
Kalau ke Likupang jangan lupa ke Pantai Pulisan.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian with the topic Berwisata di Likupang. Berwisata di Likupang, which means touring Likupang. And a conversation entitled Teman Saya Menelepon. Teman Saya Menelepon, which means my friend called. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those of you who want to be more familiar with Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, and we'll meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, Next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to play a Malay song entitled Tanah Melayu Jambi by Putri Astri, Febriana Wulandari, Puji Ratnasari, Ria Indah, Ratu Mas Atu Nabila, Hairul, Holil, and Rahmadi Trioga. The song Tanah Melayu is composed by Alex A.R. Andy Gomez. This song tells the story of Jambi Malay. The lyrics tells about the Jambi Malay border region is from Ujung Jabung to Kerinci. The area is described as a prosperous, beautiful, safe, and wise. Alright listener, let's enjoy the Malay song entitled Tanah Melayu Jambi. Enjoy!
Selamat
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia. Email voi@voinews.id. Thank you.